Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sahasrar Electronics Solutions Limited H1 and FY26 Investor Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Neha Tahir. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Danish. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Neha Tahir, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer of Sahasrar Electronics Solutions Limited, and it is my pleasure to welcome you all to our H1 Financial Year 26 Earnings Conference Call. Today, on the call from the management team, we have with us Mr. Amrit Nanwani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Varun Nanwani, Director, Mr. Manish Tiwari, Chief Financial Officer. Please note that this call is being recorded. We will commence with a briefing from the management team on the business and performance highlights for the H1 Financial Year 26, followed by insights into our growth plans and strategic vision for the upcoming year. Post which, we will open the floor for Q&A. Before we proceed, I would like to read out the standard disclaimer. This discussion may include forward-looking statements regarding the company and its subsidiaries. These statements are based on the beliefs, expectations, and assumptions of the management as on the date of this call. The company undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement in the event of a change in beliefs, expectations, or circumstances. Forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties and do not guarantee future outcomes. Listeners are therefore advised to exercise caution in interpreting them. With that, I now hand over the call to Mr. Amrit Nanwani, our Chairman and Managing Director. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neha, and good morning to all the listeners. I'm happy to be here at the investor call post the results of the first half of financial year 25-26. I'm happy to inform that our results were as expected after a slightly difficult year that we experienced in the year 24-25. The first six-month results have been quite satisfying and as expected. We hope that we will continue the same momentum in the next six months and beyond. With that, I would like to suggest that I hand over the mic to Varun Nanwani, who will run you through the details of the performance, our order bookings, our other financial details, and of course, our CFO, Mr. Manish Tiwari, will be happy to explain the financials a little further, and thereafter, any questions and answers that may crop up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Varun, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning to all the listeners on today's earnings call. As our Chairman has put that, last year was a bit of a difficult year for us, primarily due to the fall in the export business, which was the mainstay for us over these past several years. However, as I had mentioned during the previous call, we are also considering this scenario. We were also looking to pivot our business towards the domestic market. And therefore, with the effort of all our team members, the sales and marketing team, we did manage to pivot to some extent. We are definitely, we have a long way to go, but we did manage to pivot ourselves towards the domestic market as well. And therefore, we had some recovery in the numbers and in terms of the business that we could pick up. So at a time when, let's say, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, our export versus domestic revenue was obviously in favor of exports with about 85 to 90% of exports, considering the challenges in that area. So the export share today is more like 50-55%, and therefore the domestic share is 45-50%. Having said that, the addition of the two SMT lines that we had at our new unit in Bhiwadi, that helped in meeting our domestic domestic order book, and we were able to satisfy the demand of our customers in the domestic market. It is also mentioned in the subsequent slides of our presentation that we are looking to further invest in two more lines, and this further investment will basically be done to bolster up our production capacity, because we are looking at various market segments, and these market segments represent different kinds of potential. In some areas there are very large volume projects, and in some areas there are high capability projects, and therefore these additional two lines that we will have at the domestic unit in Bhiwadi will be high speed lines, because the previous two lines we brought in were high capability lines, and so they will both complement each other in meeting customer demand. In addition, we have also planned that while we did get our ISO 9001 certification at the Bhiwadi unit earlier this year, however, we plan that before the end of the financial year, we are also able to get further certification of ISO 45001 and ISO 14001, which is the environmental management standard and the employee health and safety standard, so that not only do we meet our corporate social responsibilities, but we also are able to meet customer expectations. I'm sure you all may have also seen some of the images of the new facility in Bhiwadi. The building is, the full building is almost nearing its completion. We should be fully complete in the next couple of months. And also you may have seen pictures of the facility inside, which thanks to all the efforts of our team members, is at par with global standards and also at par with the top companies in India. In terms of the business growth, especially in the domestic market, we are targeting various sectors and segments. So we have made inroads in the EV accessories market. We have also entered into the metering business for exports based on the announcement we had made with our Dutch client in April. The very first production shipment should be leaving our facility sometime in December. In addition, we are also looking at other markets like GPS tracking, personal grooming products, automotive markets, whether it be instrumentation clusters, automotive lighting, and other automotive accessories. We are also, focusing on our industrial solutions offering. So we are working with several industrial products companies in India for their products to be manufactured by us. We have traditionally always focused on the turnkey model, and therefore we will continue to focus on the turnkey business rather than just looking at pure play job work, as that has been our strength with our supply chain team working hard to ensure that we are able to maintain our margins. In addition, also to de-risk ourselves, we are definitely looking to enter into further new markets on the energy side, such as solar solutions, and also on other automotive products, IoT solutions, so that we are not a single customer dependent model in any particular line of business. And this has been our business strategy, you know, over the last several years, whereby we tend to de-risk ourselves from markets, geographies, products, industries. So we will continue to use that model. Also, as our chairman mentioned, that yes, the initial 6 months have been satisfactory, and we hope to maintain this momentum in the in H2 as well. Currently, the order book that we have seems healthy enough for us to be able to maintain this momentum. And so, you know, that is what we are focusing on, to be able to execute the orders at the moment. Now, there are also new projects that we have picked up. For example, we had shared the agreement signing with another UK company called Solstar, whereby these are optosensor assemblies. And so the development exercise for these for this particular customer is underway, and perhaps from the next fiscal year onwards, we will start to see revenue realization on this particular project as well. And obviously, the initial supplies that go to Europe for the matrix should also start to look at larger volume orders from the next fiscal onwards. I already spoke about the investment in plant and machinery. So this will be to the tune of 15 crores, whereby we will be bringing in two other SMT lines along with other peripheral equipment, so that the diversification that we are looking at, we are able to fulfill all those product requirements. We will also be bringing in a fully automated conformal coating line, so that there is more and more reliance and dependence on automation to ensure that we have the right level of quality and we are able to fulfill customer expectations. With that, I would like to hand over to our CFO, Mr. Manish Tiwari, so that he can share the financial performance of the company. So Manish ji, over to you.
Thank you, sir. So, respect to all the investors, if you see our financials, we have achieved a turnover of 58.16 crores during the first 6 months of this fiscal year. And if you see our last guidance, we have given the projected revenue of 130 crores. So in a way, we are on the halfway, and we are expecting that the second half would be better than the first one. So we are on the track. On the other side, if we see on the expenses side, we have controlled our expenses. And if we see the expenses also has been reduced compared to the previous year. So we are on the first side, we are trying to reduce our expenses and we are trying to increase the income. So the delta would be the net profitability will be increased. And on this is the basic of this P&L statement. And so similarly, if we see the balance sheet, we are increasing our assets. And now we have the total assets of 31 crores in this listed entity. And on a consolidated basis, we have the assets of 143 crores on the consolidated basis when we are consolidating the assets of our subsidiary company. Okay. So our EBITDA also has been on the track. Last year it was some 13.79%. Now since the turnover has been increased, still we are maintaining the EBITDA of 12.63%, which is quite healthy. And management is trusting, and they are hoping that we would be able to sustain this EBITDA in the coming quarters also. We have some other incomes because of we have some unutilized fund of our IPO proceeds, which we are using for the purchase of new equipment. And almost we have utilized all the other funds only. We have some 46 crores right now, which will be used for the procurement of other assets. And PAT, we are also maintaining the PAT of 15.49%, which is quite good compared to last full year of 9.13%. So investors, the financials are improving, and we are hoping that we will be able to maintain this profit in the coming quarters also. Thank you.
Thank you, Manish ji.
Over to Varun sir.
Yeah, thank you, Manish ji. I would also like to share developments around the subsidiary Sahastra Semiconductors. The first half for Sahastra Semiconductors has not been as exciting as the listed entity that is Sahastra Electronic Solutions. The primary reason for that is that out of the three, out of the entire portfolio of three products, the plans that we had for this financial year was to be able to have, let's say, approximately 50-50% revenue from both the memory business and also the eSIM business. However, due to delays in the approval cycle of the eSIM, which we were, you know, very much confident that would have got approved by April, May this year. However, it got pushed out, and the final contract with our European customer for eSIM manufacturing got signed only in October. And just recently, in the first week of November, their assessment audit was conducted, and we have passed that audit. So now there will be, you know, now the next steps will take place, and therefore from the next from the next calendar year, let's say from March onwards, we will start to look at, you know, making eSIMs on a production scale. So that obviously has been a bit of a dampener in terms of the volume and revenue contribution from the eSIMs. But nonetheless, the good news being that we have finally signed the contract. Due to sensitivities around the business, we have been restricted by a customer to make any announcement with respect to their name, etc. However, you know, we will be getting into mass production, as I said, in March-April timeframe. And so that will definitely contribute to the revenue in the next fiscal year. The memory business in the first half was slow, and it was the prices were very, very low. However, with the growth in AI and extreme demand from the AI segment, the prices for the memory business or memory products has increased multifold, and there is currently a massive shortage in the market. As a result of that, you know, the fact that we had, you know, built up inventories at our place to be able to meet the future demand, we have a slightly healthy stock position, and therefore we are trying to ramp up our packaging volumes to be able to meet this demand. And once again, the latest agreement signed with Hama. Also, our agreement signing with other Indian companies will contribute to the growth. And therefore, we are looking for recovery to happen in the second half. With this recovery, while we may not be able to achieve the initial numbers that we had suggested, but we will at least be able to recover to the extent that we can at least reach similar to the last year's revenue. Also to add that in the memory business, we are going to now initiate our exercise with respect to adding products to the portfolio. And also, we will initiate the exercise of starting to, you know, study the packaging of the higher end solutions, which are more like advanced packaging, such as the NAND/VGAs and eMMC products. So that exercise will start in the last quarter of this financial year. Also, happy to announce that our specs approval that we had received from the Ministry of Electronics application that was approved several years back, we had submitted our subsidy disbursement proposal to the government. And ISCI, which is the monitoring agency, has completed all the exercise. And so they have submitted the details to the ministry. So now, depending upon the time that would be taken, we hope to get the first tranche of our grant back from the government. And hopefully we can have that to be completed before the end of the financial year. That will, you know, support the operations to a large extent, and will also, you know, help in cutting down the interest burden, which will have a healthy and positive impact on the profit and loss statement. So these are some of the developments in the semiconductor space, which I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Danishji, I also had one last thing to mention, which I skipped, if I can continue with that.
Please.
Yeah, I just also wanted to share with everybody on today's call regarding the merger exercise. So, as has been shared by us, that, you know, we have initiated the process of merger. All the group entities, you know, the boards have given respective approvals to initiate the activity. And currently, we are in discussions with consultants and external agencies to draw up the merger scheme to ensure that, you know, it has the right impact on your company. So in the next few weeks, we hope to have a final merger scheme available, based on which we will, you know, seek further approval from the board for the merger scheme. And once that happens, then we can initiate the exercise for the merger. Chairman sir, if you have any additional remarks on this point, you may please add on.
So the thank you, Varun. So the purpose behind this merger is that, you know, we have this non-listed company which is in the same domain, and by merging that company, we would be able to bring more value to the shareholders of the company. The other company that we are looking at the merging is the PCB company, where we make one of the inputs for our listed company. So they make printed circuit boards, and we are looking at merging that company also with the listed company. So all this will bring value to the shareholder of our listed company. Also, we are looking at how do we improve our skill sets. So we are also merging our skilling companies so that we will be able to provide skilled manpower for higher end manufacturing in the EMS domain, as well as, of course, very importantly, in the semiconductor packaging domain. So these are some of the initiatives that are being planned, and we hope that with the merger, we will be able to take benefit of an integrated approach to this business, and therefore we will be able to grow significantly and bring value to the shareholders of the company. Okay, so can we go ahead with the question answers, please?
Thank you so much, sir. All right. Gentle reminder, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Paras Chheda from Purple One Vertex Virtual LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes. First of all, congratulations for a strong revival of our business revenues that we've seen and the performance. Sir, I had a couple of queries in regards to our business. First of all, what I see is, you know, fixed assets to the tune of about 4.27 crores have been written off. You know, again, the PBT of 6.2 crores. So what is this write-off? I mean, I understand this could be about Sahasra Semiconductor, but is there any more to come, and what is it about? I mean,
no, we did not see any write-off. I don't know where you are. How
the cash flow statement reflects that in the consolidated cash flow statement. The consolidated cash flow statement reflects the write-off, the fixed asset, 4.27 crores.
You are talking about which one? 4.27 crores.
Fixed assets written off 4.27 crores. Cash from operating activities.
So that is only 0.67 lakhs. Loss on sale of assets.
No. Fixed assets written off is 4.27 crores. Loss on sale of assets is 0.67. But the second line that comes in, fixed assets written off 4.27 crores. Maybe you can look at it later on, but basically, you know, this is to do with Sahasra Semiconductor to meet up, you know, seems so. So, I mean, I just wanted to understand, is there any more to come, or, you know, what was this about, sort of?
Parati, nothing has been written off. I think some typo error or something. Let me check it, then definitely I will...
Maybe it could be a typo error, but at least, you know, the way this is reflected here, I mean, one will get shocked a little bit. Because, you know, I've got profits of about 6 crores and 5.27 crores has been written off on fixed assets. At least on this paper.
Manish?
Yes, sir.
Aapke paas, you have the cash flow statement in front of you, the consolidated statement?
Yeah, I have. I think, sir, because when the CA was doing it, let me take it. I will definitely respond it.
Well, let me put it this way. There has been no write-off on account of...
Yeah, broadly, at least to your knowledge, I mean, other than this thing can be rectified, but I'm just trying to understand, to your knowledge, has anything been written off on fixed assets?
No, nothing has been written off in terms of fixed assets. That we are certainly sure of. How has entry been made, that we'll have to check with our statutory auditors. But I can definitely confirm to you that there is no write-off to the extent of 4.27 crores.
Right.
And you're right, yeah, it's written off. If you see adjustment for, there is a point balance written off.
The loss on sale of assets is 0.67, but the next item that is fixed asset written off.
Yeah, I think there's an error in the entry. We'll have to check with the statutory auditor.
Fair enough, sir. I mean, you can get it rectified later on. But to your knowledge, there is broadly no write-off, I mean, per se.
No, nothing.
Okay, understood, sir. And the other thing, sir, I just wanted to understand, there is this loan of about, 19.75 crores to related party. I mean, what are these loans about broadly?
Again, these loans are to our subsidiary company. That
okay.
is semiconductor. Yeah, and that was planned. You know, even at the RHP stage, we had said that the subsidiary company would require loans to be able to purchase more equipment. We did not want to depend on bank debt, so we chose to support it ourselves.
Fair enough, sir. Okay. Sir, just in terms of the EMS business, that seems to be quite on track, I mean, or at least recovering nicely. On the semiconductor, I wanted to understand, there are monthly run rate for now. Is there any, you know, for FY27, any commitment from customers? I mean, because, of course, for this financial year, we have projected about 50-odd crores, and I guess we will be able to reach 10 crores odd. But for next year, we are again projecting 50 crores. So how is it poised, sir? Is there a monthly run rate, some commitment from customers on semiconductor business? So next year, 50 crores looks like achievable for that business?
So, if you look at this eSEM business, definitely there is a commitment. The contract that we have signed with the client, for the very first year, they are looking at anywhere between 5 to 10 million units, depending upon the market conditions. Now,
and what is the revenue potential, sir? Yeah, that 5-10 million units in terms of revenue potential?
Yeah, I'll just complete first. So that 5 to 10 million units would be, you know, obviously there will be a certain spike months. So the average, you know, let's say, would work out to a total of anywhere between 5 to 10. You know, and also it depends upon how fast we can ramp up our production, how much we can maintain the yield quality, etc. But upper side, they have confirmed that if everything goes well, it can be 10, and you know, lower side, it could be 5 million. Now, in terms of value, so the core item in this is the wafer, and in terms of the wafer, you know, we don't know the pricing of the wafer as such. Because that is a customer-owned that's customer-owned property, so it is difficult for us to comment in total. But the revenue could, you know, depending upon the wafer value, could be around 20-25 crores.
Okay, in that region.
In that region.
And the EBITDA margin on this business would be, sir?
Again,
Varun, can I answer that?
Please.
In general terms, Mr. Chadha, our EBITDA margin in this would be about 18 to 20%. Going forward, as the volumes ramp up, initially we are looking at probably 500,000 or 5 lakhs to about 1 million pieces a month. But as the volume ramps up, the EBITDA would increase because the cost will be divided over a large volume, and therefore the EBITDA may reach 20% or a little more. But initially, I would say 16 to 18% is what we can forecast, or 16 to 20% as EBITDA margin. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay. Sir, this is spec subsidy. When do you think likely will be, you know, sanctioned, and what kind of cash flow can we expect out of that?
Okay. So, Varun mentioned, IFCI has done the due diligence. We have submitted the application for disbursement in March. They have taken a long time. However, that is the main exercise. You know, they take quite a bit of a time in due diligence. That is over. They have confirmed to us that they have finished the review. And the two steps that are remaining before they give their final figures to the ministry is that they require some certificates, both from the certified auditor as well as the equipment, for the equipment, the value, etc., the current value. So those certificates they have to receive from us. They have to spell out what certificates do they need from us. And secondly, they will also visit, they have checked all the equipment that they have claimed for. They would physically visit our site for the working of those equipment. And then hopefully in the next 10 days or by end of November, they would be submitting the final proposal to the Ministry of Electronics and IT. It's very difficult to say, but we hope that in the next 6 to 8 weeks thereafter, the government will be able to disburse. Now, that all that money, we could have two options for usage of that those funds. Either we could repay or prepay the loan that we have taken from the banks, or we could use that for our working capital needs in future as we increase our sales volume for the next year from current level of about, this year we are expecting about 10 crores or thereabouts to about 50 crores. So that's the decision we will have to take based on, business conditions at that time. But that generally gives you a picture. The amount of subsidy that we are looking at from receiving from the government is anywhere between 22 crores.
Right. And so just last query, man. We are looking at phase 2, for this ATMP about 200 crores kind of capex. Now, the only worry is, so far the semiconductor is yet to pick up, and I understand there is a little bit of a long cycle that's there in the business. But, how do you fund it, and, how do you look at it? Because, eventually, the revenue part, etc. has to all come in. And, 200 crores for now at least is seemingly quite a significant, capex number. So, how do you look at it? Because so far you get to pick up.
So, this will require a little bit of a detailed discussion, but I'll quickly answer it in 30 seconds. If you need more clarification, you can contact our, CFO and our people. But, when we are undertaking 200 crores, there is a new ISM scheme coming up, what is called India Semiconductor Mission Scheme 2.0. Whereby, for packaging and advanced packaging, they would, support by, 50%. If you, give a proposal of 200 crores, 100 crores would be, grant, will come as a grant to the government on a pari passu basis, while the remaining 100 crores has to be put by the investor. And what we are saying is, together with our listed company, revenues and PAT, we will be able to provide 50 crores or thereabouts in terms of promoter contribution, and 50 crores will come from debt financing through banks. So that is the amount that we are messaging. In any case, ISM 2.0 has not yet been announced. It could be announced probably later in the year by end December or by the first quarter or by, let's say the fourth quarter of this financial year. And then, it goes through an approval cycle. Applications have to be sought by the ministry, and then they go through the approval cycle. So we do not see an activity before, let's say, the second or the third quarter of next calendar year. And by that time, we would have seen, our activity, our green shoots in terms of what we are looking at sales revenue, both in all the three verticals that Varun mentioned. One is the eSIM vertical, the other is the memory vertical, and the LED vertical. So as we go along, we will see how we have, how our performance has been. Your concerns are valid that this is this is an industry where the ecosystem is still lacking. So we will have to be very careful about our investment. I do agree with you.
Right, sir. Understood. So then, you know, for the dilution, at least, you know, even if you go ahead with this, so, I mean, 50 crores will come from internal accruals of the company, is it? If I understood correctly, and 50 crores debt, but the other 50 crores was for internal accruals?
Yeah, so we are not looking at any further dilution. We are, as you rightly understood, 50 crores from internal generation and 50 crores from debt.
Understood, sir. Fair enough, sir. I'll come back in
later. Thank you so much, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Ashutosh Kejriwal from Master Group 369. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are. Please proceed with the question.
Sir, my question is to Mr. Tiwari, and this is with respect to consolidated financial statement. So, what I understand is that Sahasra has one subsidiary, which is a semiconductor company, and that company is into losses. But when we see at the allocation of profit between parent and non-controlling interest, so that non-controlling interest has been allocated certain profits. So, my question is, when if the subsidiary company is into losses, then how can a profit be allocated to the non-controlling interest? On a consolidated level, please.
So, I can probably answer that, if I may. When we are saying that the loan that has been given from the parent company to the subsidiary company who is incurred losses, so that is the interest on that amount, the total interest paid to the booked to the parent company is 4.27 crores, and the promoters have certain amount of it, and the non-controlling interest is to the public, I suppose.
Okay, so are we saying that interest on loan to subsidiaries has been eliminated on a consolidated level, and post that our subsidiaries into profits?
So, it's considered as a part of the profit in the listed company, and considered as a interest, and therefore booked as a book loss, and that has been negated in the consolidated statement that has been provided. And in fact, this also answers the previous question that was there, that 4.27 crores that he was mentioning the earlier,
Mr. Parat.
Yeah, Mr. Parat said that, who raised that question of sundry, balance write-off, that was actually on account of the interest paid to the parent company.
Okay, that's all from our side.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Manik Gautam from FinDoc. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are. Yes, please proceed with the question.
Yeah, hi, congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I just have one bookkeeping question that is on the treatment of depreciation on a consolidated level. So, what depreciation rate do you charge on the net fixed assets? I just wanted to know that why do we charge such a low depreciation rate, that is 7% on standalone and approximately 6.5 on a consolidated basis. That is my question.
Okay. So depreciation is being charged on straight line method. So it is based on the number of days the assets have been utilized. So if you see in consolidated basis, it may be some lowest at the time in terms of total percentage, because in some other assets has been acquired in subsidiary company, but the assets has been used for lesser days. Some assets which has been used for the full year. So this is the base of calculation, and all the depreciation has been charged on straight line method.
Okay. So another question I had for your SMT line. So any guidance on the capacity and its utilization for the near-term future?
Yes, I can answer that question. So the two new SMT lines that are coming belong to you know, very high speed model. So therefore, these are individual smaller modules. At this point of time, we are bringing in 5 modules, whereby there will be 3 modules to allocated to one line and 2 modules that will be allocated to the second line. In total, if you look at it line wise, each of these modules has a capacity of 50,000 CPH. So on one line, it will be 150,000 CPH and the other it will be 100,000 CPH. As I mentioned earlier, that we are targeting some large volume projects. So if those projects indeed come our way, and if the volume grows, then we only have to add on individual modules rather than creating full lines. So to start with, we are taking 3 and 2 modules. As and when the volume grows, we will only add to the module capacity. The balance of the line will remain the same.
Okay. Thank you so much. Call back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Shashanja, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Shah, please proceed ahead with the question.
Yeah, actually, most of the question either has been answered by management itself or past participant. Just one query. Is it regarding to margin? Like the core business, PAT margin should be something around 20%. So is it sustainable in future? And whatever, when volume comes in for semiconductor business, what can we expect as a PAT margin from there?
Okay.
I'm talking about volume after 2-3 years, sir.
Okay, let me although I have partially answered this question, so let me answer it again. Firstly, I think the PAT margin on the EMS business or the SMT business, as you called it, is, I don't think it's 20%. It's more like 15 to 16%. And that's a very healthy margin compared to our industry peers. And we definitely will maintain it. And particularly with, you know, once we are able to merge the non-listed company also with us, I think it will slightly improve because, you know, we are focusing on exports also, so we get slightly better margins. Coming to the semiconductor business or the semiconductor subsidiary, as we ramp up volume, because that is a volume kind of a situation, the more volume you do, the better you do in terms of both EBITDA as well as net margins. Although the semiconductor, because of the nature of its, you know, the current level of maturity that the industry has in India, the margins will be definitely lower. We are looking at an EBITDA of, you know, 16 to 18%, and as the volume increases, it may go up to 20 or more. But the PAT margin would be, I think, somewhere hovering around 8 to 10%.
Okay.
At least in the initial year. I hope I have answered your question.
Got it, sir. Yes, sir. Sir, one request. Like 6 months is too long time, especially in some volatile environment. So if you start posting some like quarterly numbers, just what was revenue you did, what was the EBITDA, and how is the order book scaling up, it will be very helpful, sir. 6 months is too long time.
Well, you know, thank you for your question. We will review it internally with, you know, our CS and CFO, and also as per the SEBI guidelines. We won't commit anything at this point, but we will review internally and we will see if anything can be shared on a quarterly basis.
Just few numbers, sir, not entire results. Actually, few companies are doing it. So if you also do it, it will be very helpful, sir.
Sure, Mr. Jha. Point well noted. We made note of it, and so we will review it internally. I also wanted to add to whatever Mr. Chairman mentioned on your previous question. See, the the DNA for Sahasra has always been its export potential and its export exposure. Yes, in the last few months and quarters, there has been a bit of uncertainty in the global market and with the US tariffs, etc. However, there are all positive signs everywhere that you know, India and the US should be reaching some kind of a positive trade deal. So with that in mind and the fact that we have exposure to other European markets, we will continue to have a share in exports, a healthy share. We'll always be targeting 50% and above. So that will marginalize the lower profitability margins that one has in the Indian market. And therefore, we should be able to see better numbers. It may not be 20% as has already been said, but even with growth in the India business, we will not be wanting to ideally look at very, very low margin business, at least in the short term. So I hope that also answers your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you and all the best for future.
Thank you, Mr. John.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Abhay Jain from Hem Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the great set of numbers. Just needed one clarity that you mentioned that board has just approved the merger of group companies. Which company are you going to merge? What was the revenue and PAT of that company in FY25? And when do we expect that merger to be completed? Thank you.
So as Varun mentioned, we will, you know, the merger scheme is being finalized. And once the merger scheme is finalized, that means, you know, valuation of each of those companies is done, then we will have to go back to the individual companies' boards and, you know, seek their permission and also the shareholders to seek their permission for the merger process to commence. The companies in question are this unlisted company called Sahasra Electronics Private Limited, which is also in the same domain. And last year was, you know, a difficult year even for that company. Often I don't remember what were the financials of that company last year, but, you know, we are expecting that in this year, they would also achieve a turnover of about, you know, 90 to 100 crores, with a you know, PAT of about 8 crores, 8 to 10 crores. Then there is another company where we make PCBs, as I said, which is a very important input to our EMS vertical, and that's a smaller company. Their revenue this year is expected to be anywhere in the range of 18 to 20 crore, but it's a strategic merger because, you know, that's very critical as an input to our EMS business. As I also mentioned earlier, that the third company, which is really a skilling company, which we would be merging, so that more importantly, rather than the revenue there, we are looking at their experience in skilling, providing skilled manpower, both to our EMS business or the SMT business, as some people call it, as well as to our semiconductor business.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. So my second question is regarding the shareholding pattern of Sahasra Electronics Private Limited. Can you tell us that?
Well, the majority, about 86%, is owned by the promoter family. The remaining 14% is owned by one is a U.S. entity who have about 4 point something, and yet there is another individual who is a U.S. citizen but Indian American who owns about 9%.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, looks like there are no other questions. So I think we should conclude this session. And I would like to thank all the participants, all the listeners and investors who actively participated, and look forward to all the shareholder support so that we can, with your blessings and support, we can continue to grow and be a very healthy company.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Sahasra Electronics Solution Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.